67 in the Quran. Now, let's talk about how these surahs in the Quran are structured. So what I'm going to do is I read it a little bit in Maghrib, but I want to go over the English and the Arabic. And my goal today, I might not be able to finish the surah, but the surah has a lot of gems for us today. And I'm going to try to relate it to our nowadays. Think of Surah Al-Mulk as a cross-examination of you and yourself. And you're going to say how. There are about 12 questions that we can be asking ourselves every night. So this Surah Al-Mulk, one of its beautiful things is, according to ulama, it should be read every day. Some people say every night before we sleep. And why is it that this surah is important? Surah Al-Mulk. So this defines Allah's majesty, His boundaries, His kingdom, His, like, what does Allah own? It comes nested between two surahs. Surah Al-Tahrim, and what's the surah after Al-Mulk? Al-Qalam, the pen. Now let me read the surah, and then we'll zoom out again, take a macro, and get into the surah right away. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. I read just the first two ayahs. Let me translate it inshallah in English. Supremely blessed, Tabarak, be He in whose hand is the dominion and He is all powerful over everything. The one who created, now notice, the one who created death and life. I want you to pay attention. Why does He say death first? So I want these, I'm going to leave questions and no answers in the beginning. Why does Allah start off say death? Isn't it life and death? Why death and life? To test you as to which of you is better in conduct is according to one of the translation, or best of deeds is a better also translation, best of deeds. For He is the Almighty and oft forgiving. So right now we're at the first two verses. Again, if you want to follow along in the Quran, Surah number 67, it has a few names. Surah, some people know it as Surah Tabarak. Some people Surah Al-Mulk. There are multiple names to the surah. So Surah Tabarak begins off similar to Surah Al-Furqan. Tabarak, that Tabarak, the word Baraka is blessed. Baraka in the Quran, that blessing has two main definitions. One, consistency, al-thabat, and al-dawam, like the always on, and the multiplier. So if I said I have $1,000, that's not blessed. Or I had $1,000 that's blessed. What comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? I said this $1,000 is blessed. This $1,000 is not blessed. What comes to your mind? I'm talking about money. People love money. When is $1,000 not, do you feel is not blessed? Any answers? Halal and haram? When you lose it fast. When it goes away fast. So, and that comes to back to the word of barakah is thabat, that there is this longevity to it. Okay? So tabarak coming from Allah is, the first word in the surah is telling you there is this unbelievable goodness on the planet. There's this unbelievable greatness on the planet, khair, and we don't recognize it. So when you say the first word tabarak, most people miss the first gem in the surah, like, oh, tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulku wa huwa, okay, blessed, but why is He saying it like that? Why does Allah say it in that context? Why does He want you to recognize that as part of His mulk, His majesty, His this dominion that He is part of? Like, why? And then He say biyadihi al-mulk, in His hand is the mulk, and He's capable or powerful over everything. And this is the first verse, and this tells you, and this tells you that that power that He has over everything is usually where we go missing when we miss think of Allah. When we think of Allah, you know what? Maybe Allah's not there for me. Actually, according to one of the narrations, again, this one is not confirmed. Why did this surah get revealed? The non-believers in Mecca, we're saying, according to one, is lower your voices so that the God of Muhammad does not hear you. To you guys, this is funny today. At the time, they thought maybe if we lower our voice, we won't be exposed. So in Allah describes his king, his mulk, he's like, half hour over every, I hear what you say in your chest. So that's why one of the next page of Surah Al-Mulk, when it says the first ayah would say, وَيَسِرُّ قَوْلَكُمْ أَوْ إِجْهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows everything in the chest. So even if you didn't say it, Allah knows it. So because some people think, well, maybe just Allah knows what I'm saying. No, He doesn't know what you're saying. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're hiding in your chest. That's the essence. Now, why does it come nested between Surah Al-Tahrim and Surah Al-Qalam? So who can remind me again? The ending of Surah Al-Tahrim. So can someone remind me, there's a mention, it's first of all, Surah Tahrim talks about an incident that happened in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, between him and his wives. Then towards the end of the surah, Allah will mention four women. The wife of Nuh, Noah, the wife of Lut, Lot, and then he will mention the wife of Fir'aun and Maryam, the mother of Isa, Jesus. Four women. But he will group two and two. Now let's go through that grouping because it does carry weight for us as we understand. Allah says that Allah has set forth a parable for those who deny. So people who disbelieve, here's an example for you. The wife of Nuh and the wife of Lot. Wait a second. Brothers and sisters, is the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lot good or bad? But they're wives of? Then, I'm going to skip now. You guys made an answer for me. I'm going to go to the other part. At the ending, Allah will say, and Allah has set forth a parable for those who attained faith, the wife of the Pharaoh. Is the Pharaoh evil? So Allah gives you a crisscross example of, just because your conditions, because some people will say, you know, my life, you know, was really bad because, you know, my house was bad, my parents were bad. My this was bad. You don't know what it's like. We hear that a lot. On the other hand, you have someone that has the best knowledge of religion and their wife turns bad. And this gives us an important indication before Surah Al-Mulk will begin that the idea that the test that you're in, it's not that your conditions are needed for the test to succeed. Whatever you're thrown in conditions, you can succeed. And look, you know, Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, Allah says their wife spiritually cheated on them. Spiritually cheated on them. But when it came to the wife of Fir'aun, a tyrant, she's going to get heaven. Wait a second, how do we thought you have to, Islam said you have to have a perfect family. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you have it, alhamdulillah. If you don't have it, it is a test. So wait a second, Islam says if things are not well at home, that could be part of a test. That explains why in the introduction of Surah Tabarak, Surah Al-Mulk, Allah says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you who is the best of these. So you see these four exams, everyone gave different answers. And I want to give an analogy, لله المثل الأعلى, just so that to keep it close. You know when people go in an exam, the professor will say, you know what? You have to study chapter 1 to 10 to pass the exam. No matter how many times the professor advises, there's always a group of people that show up to the exam that right 10 minutes before the exam, they're like, bro, what chapter is the professor covering in the exam again? Did you not? What do you tell him? Were you not listening? He said chapter 1 to 10. He wrote it on our website online. He said it in the lecture. He said it in this. No matter what you do in terms of warning, there's always a group of people that deny the warning and they find a way to blame, you know, the professor should have made it a bit clearer. Yeah, but it was everywhere. I was sick that day. So people start blaming their situation always when enough evidence exists. Again, I'm not saying this example as a Quranic, but just to simplify the understanding of four exams and Surah Al-Mulk will begin. And then you go to Surah Al-Qalam. So right now I didn't even touch Surah Al-Mulk. I'm going to the next surah. What? Who's the first person mentioned in Surah Al-Qalam? مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you had exams for women, who passed, who didn't. And the ultimate person who passed the exam with the best of deeds is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you can see how Surah Al-Mulk is enclosed into these exams here, and the ultimate person that passed the exam. And Surah Al-Mulk will tell you, alright, we talked about, last week someone asked a beautiful question, I might not have clarified it last week. Why is it that I emphasized in the tafsir of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ that Allah is invoked three times in قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ? Did anyone get confused last week? Why the three? The idea is, humans, and this, I want to use these three quls to explain something here, that humans tend to blame external circumstances more than themselves. Why? Because our eyes are on the outside. And when your eyes are on the outside, it spots other people's errors really well, other problems, but it hardly, you look inside. So Allah says, pay attention three times to the shaitan inside of you. Sometimes it's the evil whispers inside of you that is the problem. It's something that you own. Whereas the external factor, you over worry about it, you make it such a big deal, just invoke Allah once He protects you. But the ultimate protection you need is that inner voice that you have that keeps getting influenced left and right by friends, by people, by parents, by this, don't do that, don't do this, bro, this isn't cool, bro, all that stuff. Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِنَا 75% weight. But when it came to external factors, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ one time. It tells you the importance of pushing back on that inner voice of getting influenced from whoever it is. And we need Allah's help to overcome. Now let's go to Surah Al-Mulk. Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This idea of who is the best of deed. A few things in this verse should make us contemplate. Why did Allah not say the best of deeds and the worst of deeds? So we know who the losers are. Why? Why just best? Allah, so in general, Allah will end the verse about forgiveness. He'll say He's the Aziz, the one who cannot be defeated. Because some people think I can overpower Allah. Some people think that. And others, and if Allah, and some people say, you know, maybe if Allah built the world in a different way, more people would have believed. You know, there are humans that think, you know, I have a better plan than Allah. Astaghfirullah, but I'm just laying what the thinking process is so that we clarify it, inshallah, in this halaqah. Bi-idhnillah. So the question is, okay, if Allah knows everyone, then why are people misguided? And I want to go back to the example of the exam. The warning is there. The evidence is there. And this surah, Al-Mulk, will walk you through 12 questions that you should ask yourself every day, and it will probe at you. Let's go through. So Allah, we said, concludes with that He's forgiving, which tells you He wants you to go to Jannah. He wants you to pass your exam. He doesn't say, Al-Jabbar, who is so angry at you, who wants to put you in hell. He says, Al-Aziz Al-Ghafoor. Al-Ghafoor is forgiving, oft forgiving in English translation. So Allah is saying, those people that pass this, that go through this test, Allah wants you to pass it, and the proof is He's forgiving. Even if you made mistakes, he just come back to Him. Come back to Him. So this is just the first two ayahs. Now I want to take لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, and I want you to reflect on two ayahs in the Quran. One ayah is in Surah Hud, number 7. Surah Hud, I think it's Surah number 11. It's Yunus Hud. I think Surah 11, ayah number 7. And then Surah Kahf, ayah number 7. I'm going to read them out to you so that you can get a taste of this. First of all, in ayah, I'm going to read from ayah number 6 and go into 7. And there is no creature on earth, but its provision depends on Allah. And He knows its residence and its depository. Allah is an evident record. all is in an evident record. What does this verse say? That Allah knows every creature on the planet, every ant, where it will sleep tonight. Every single creature on the planet, where it's going to sleep. So if there are trillions of mosquitoes, ants, everything, Allah knows every single creature, its residence, every single fact about it, where it's going to eat, what it's going to eat, the whole creation. Then Allah will say, and it is He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And His throne was upon His water in order to test you as to which of you does the best of deeds or the better conduct. Same exact ayah, that part of the ayah is the same exact one as al-mulk. One might ask the question, if Allah can make everything happen, why did He need 6 days to build the earth and the heavens and the sky? If kun fayakun is an ayah, then why wasn't the earth and the sky kun fayakun? Any heavens? The answer is in Surah Qaf. Allah will say, وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ. Building this whole earth in the 6 day did not make us tired. مَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ. And then He gives an advice to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's Fadl al-Samarra'i, Dr. Fadl al-Samarra'i with this finding. فَصْبِرْ, and be patient with what they say. So the idea that the earth took time to create, Allah follows it in Surah Qaf, that building of the earth and that did not tire us. And the taught lesson is, be patient, ya Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with what they say. So it almost teaches you patience, that because if it was created right away, then your dua would be like, Allah, you created the world in 1 second. I want my dua answered in 1 second. We would have been humans of rushing. But Allah, when it shows you took 6 days, even though, and I love this Dr. Fadl Samarra'i tadabbur of this, is that 6 days, and it's Allahu A'lam, it's tadabbur, this is not a tafsir, this is a tadabbur by Dr. Fadl Samarra'i, that this idea of 6 days teaches humans to be patient in this dunya, and teaches us the word al-asr, time, that things take time, and do not rush, and that is why he follows it right away, and be patient, Prophet Allah, with what people are saying about you. Don't let it get to you. Be patient with it. It takes time. So the idea of the creation of the earth in 6 days. Anyways, let's go back to our main point. This also ayah exists in Surah Al-Kahf. Ayah number 7. Surah number 18. Ayah number 7. Who knows ayah number 7? Yes. Can you read it? لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفَ. The one after it? يُهُمْ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ جَعَلْنَا مَعَ الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So Allah mentions in the Quran 3 times, we are testing you to see the best of you. أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. أَحْسَن, come the word إحسان, أحسن, same root, which is excellence. Allah wants to see the best of you. Allah wants to see just the best of you. The test of dunya is, it's not about to see the worst of you, it's not about to get people to Jahannam. This is you misunderstanding the exam. But Allah gave every person, you're created by purpose, by design to pass this exam. You choosing not to pass an exam is a choice you make. But Allah says 3 different stages. How He created earth, and we tested you to see the best of your deeds. In Surah Al-Kahf, and we made everything on earth a decoration, zina, to test you. What is the best of your deeds? And then in Surah Al-Mulk, at the very end, Allah will say, الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمْلًا. We've created death and life to test the best of deeds. Well, how do I put these 3 stages together? Why did this whole universe get created? So that you understand, this exam that you're in is to test the best of your deeds. This is the why the universe got created. Okay, why is there things zina? There are things that take me, that are decoration. Decoration meaning sometimes people are attracted to the wrong thing. Maybe woman, maybe this, maybe that. In a haram way. I'm not talking halal way. Inshallah. Money, all of that in a haram way. There are things that are zina, decoration. It might be good, it might be bad. Why is that? Why is the world created like that? So that we test the best of your deeds. So you bring your A game. And then at the very end in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah will say the same, and before it, and we've created death and life. Why death first? Death first, ulama had three opinions on it. One of them is, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says that you were lifeless and then He gave you life. So you were, a question, 100 years ago, how many people here existed in the room? None? None. Where were you? What were you doing? Where did you physically exist? You're dead. And then Allah gave you life. The other example is, no, death came first because it's higher impact. This whole life, you would understand why you're here if you plan for your death. Because again, in postmodernism world, death is viewed as this, you know, I work in tech. When we have a very bad bug, we say it's a feature, not a bug, right?
That's right.
Okay, in tech we have this joke that when something's not working out, we're like, this is a feature of the program. It's not a bug. It's how it's supposed to work. Okay? But in when we're talking now about death, the idea is that if you understand where you're going, and in a postmodernism world, death is a bug. It's a bad thing. It's a failure. Did you die? Oh my God. In Islam, we do not have that belief. We believe death is a time that Allah put for us on the planet. And now we get scored. And it is part of our eternal life. So all humans are eternal. Since you're born, no one dies. How do we know that? You die in this dunya, you get resurrected again, and then it's Jahannam or Jannah. So technically, you're going to live in Jannah, inshallah. May Allah grant us all Jannah forever. But all this to cover, that why does Allah put death first is, you imagine you're reading this before you sleep. What is happening to you? You're actually entering death. It's an 8-hour death or 7-hour, 6-hour death. And then you're going to live again. So technically when you're reading the surah and you're saying, Al-Mawt, you need to stop and think, I'm about to sleep right now. What do I need to do my accounting to fix myself? What did I do wrong today? So if you're reading at night before you sleep, you notice how death comes first. It technically emulates how your day is going to look like. I'm just entering my sleep right now. But for the next ayah, and I want to do the most, I've never done this in any explanation of an ayah. So Allah says, الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا. He created the seven heavens. طباقا sometimes gets translated as layered. But I'm going to, for the tafsir of this, I'm going to ask you to do something. It's going to be so bizarre. Please don't think I'm crazy. Okay? But we said we're doing reflections and tadabbur. But I want you to land this ayah. Okay, so the ayah says, and this is to the sisters too, the inshallah, the same applicable. The one who created seven heavens in layers. You see no discrepancy in the creation of the All-Merciful, so look again. I want you to go outside and look at the sky and check. Wallahi, I want you to do this. And check, are there cracks in the skies? Check, is there any discrepancy? I know this sounds bizarre, but can you brothers and sisters do that? Can you get up, put your shoes on, and look at the sky, and try it? Go ahead. I'm going to do it. I know this sounds bizarre, but we're going to do one of the strangest things. You're like, brother, you're making us get up and down. We're going to be in pain. Bro, there's no cracks in the sky. عشان يشوف ما انت تأكد انت تأكد الآية بتقول ايه شوفها من الشباك if you're too tired 3 just
Again, twice, karatein.
We're gonna translate that. Is it working? I think it's solid green. Yeah?
ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. So I just, you stared at the sky, and were there any cracks? Were there any faults? Besides, it was raining and it was annoying that I did this to you guys. Besides that, why did we do this? One of the things that this surah will tell us at the very end, towards the very end, is there are two types of people. Those who walk staring towards the ground, and those who walk with the Sirat Mustaqim, walking straight upwards. It seems that in our time, humans are so obsessed with phones and devices that they don't see the sky anymore. Look how annoying this exercise is. This was love for the Sahaba. To stare at the sky and to appreciate the stars and to appreciate the creation of Allah. And Allah will say in the next verse, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا what does the next verse say? سَمَأْ بِمَصَابِيحِ We've put stars and planets in the sky. We've decorated and made it so pretty and beautiful. But humans have lost touch of a beautiful sky. But why would Allah say, hey, I'm testing you for the best of your deeds? Go stare at the sky. You're like, I stared at the sky. I don't get what this guy is saying. Allah says, I created this universe with the galaxies in perfect condition, not one flaw. All of you reported, according to your eyesight, no flaw, right? Except that it was raining and I made you do this, right? No flaw. Allah, so is your design of your life. It's not flawed. So your design of your life, because some people are like, why is it that I was born like that? Why did this problem happen to me? Why did this happen to me? So Allah says, before you go there, why don't you take a look at how the universe was created? Take a look at the sky. Look how unbelievable, and the sky doesn't have to be at night. It would have been prettier this morning with the sun and the clouds and everything. Look at how beautiful, how Allah built this universe. When you doubt Allah, the first thing you should do is step back and check the magnificence of this planet. Because usually when we doubt, it's big for us, but it's really small 2-3 days later. Whatever you're going through the moment, it's intense, but whatever you come after it, it's like it's not that intense. But Allah says you gotta zoom out. Because many people think, you know what, the way my life got designed, astaghfirullah, I don't mean it like that. I don't like it. Or it's kind of hard. Or it is difficult. But what are you doing? You're doubting that Allah is the owner of that universe, had planned it properly. And astaghfirullah, I don't mean to say it in these words. I just want you to connect why this exercise of Allah telling us, you gotta connect with the universe more. If you feel that some type of way about what's going on in your life, sometimes a step back and understanding, you know what? Allah has created so many beautiful things. So far, Allah had asked you two questions. Which is the best of your deeds? Question one. Question two, take a look again at the sky. What do you see? So the first two questions that come out are kind of strange. Which is the best of your deeds? So the first thing you ask yourself, okay, am I giving my best? Number two, are you looking up? Or are you, in our world nowadays, are you 3 hours like this? فرجع البصر. هل ترى من Do you see any cracks? Do you see any faults? Did you ever see, wake up in the news and see, I always say this, but hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a problem this week. We're skipping Wednesday and Thursday. It's going to be Friday. There's a problem in the universe. Or did you ever wake up in the news and see, you know what? The sun disappeared. We don't know where it went. We're disappointed, but it's not coming back. You know it's not going to happen. And you know it never happened. How do you know that? Surah Al-Mulk says that. Do you see any crack? Do you see any discrepancy? Do you see anything in the planning of the universe? If it was off by meters or different directions, 1 degree certain way, you wouldn't get the seasons and the day and night working the way it is. All it had to do, if Allah was not perfect, this whole season, you know what time sunset will be a year from now. How do you know that? Surah Al-Mulk. You're talking about Allah. Allah says, I created this world in perfect condition outside. So the design of your life that appears to you imperfect is actually the best. And that's why some of the ulama say, your life is the best journey. You're like, but bro, I'm having a lot of problems. Yeah, that's the design. Because we're so obsessed in the world of capitalism and postmodernism with, you know, one of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he said something we should all watch out for, but we become obsessed with it when you have luxury and good lifestyle, especially like in the West. Rafa, this life of, you know, you try to avoid pain, everything has to be perfect. You're living like, they call it like the good life, like there is no pain in life. And this spoils the heart. This spoils the heart because what you want is what's eating you alive the whole time. In the journey of you wanting it and you getting it, you lose your soul. Any questions so far? Yes. Yeah. Any of you two? The life that we have right now is the best plan.
So this Quran says something like it's already everything predetermined, predestined, and we are just here to react how it happens.
So a beautiful question. Does that mean I'm doing nothing? And this goes back to Surah Al-Layl, the night. So to repeat the question to the sisters, is the life that we're living right now, I am powerless and I'm just going through it like it's an escalator? Or do I have power over it? And the best way to understand it, we translate it in Surah Al-Layl. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. What levers do you have in life? Your ability to give in any transaction, your ability to fear Allah and have taqwa in every transaction, and your ability to connect every moment to al-husna, to the hereafter. So if you get into a car accident, it was predestined. You had no control over it. But when you come out of the car and you say, I hate you to death, فَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِي. If your reaction was like, Alhamdulillah, you know, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and you had sabr, you have won that exam. So there's the event, and Allah says the three things you're asked for in the event, your ability to give, your ability to have taqwa, fear of Allah in every event. So as you go through these events, if you showcase that, Allah says, سَنِيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَ. We carve your path according to these three inputs. And Imam Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini is the one that did this beautiful. So am I in autopilot? No, you're not. Do I have control over everything? No, you do not. So what do? The balance is these three things. Every event you're put forward. And this explains how Allah took us from Surah Al-Tahrim, the four women, one married to a prophet. That was her exam. One married to a tyrant. That was her exam. How she reacted got her to Jannah. How the prophet's wives reacted got him to Jahannam. So, this is actually the point of Surah Al-Mulk. It is not about your conditions. Your conditions is the exam. Because some people will say, if I had money, I will help. No, you help, and then Allah will give you money. Also, we see it in Surah Yusuf. Allah will say, كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is how we reward those who excel. How did He reward those who excel? Allah gave Sayyidina Yusuf knowledge and wisdom. Why? Because he excelled in every exam. He did not get knowledge and wisdom, therefore he excelled. It's the opposite. When you do your best, Allah opens a door for you. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. When you excel, you get rewarded with knowledge and wisdom. So people now will say, especially young people, will be like, I'm going to school to learn, and after I learn, I want to excel. It's the other way around. When you excel, you will learn. And that's why a lot of students in school don't learn. because they get put in the machine, in the grinder. I'm just going through life as is, and I'm a robot. But when your attitude is, I excel at whatever I do, so Allah rewards you with knowledge and wisdom. This same ayah is in Surah Al-Qasas, except there's one differentiator about the body of Prophet Moses, alayhi salam. He was given knowledge and wisdom. Why? That's how we reward those who excel. So the question is, when you get an exam from God, whether it's a family exam, money exam, any exam, do you excel? If the answer is yes, you excel, then the next test gets built according to your qadr, that you did your part. Does that help explain the connection that you have three inputs? These are what you are seeking in every exam. And we pray that Allah guides us all, inshallah, for us to maximize the three inputs. Any questions about that?
Related.
Sure.
So this exam that you talk about, can we say everybody has an equal type of, or equal difficulty level of exam, or everybody has their own, whatever?
According to you, who you are. If it was equal exam, some people, for example, are very patient. Some people get angry very fast. So everyone is different in the room. Was the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab equal to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? No. Did they convert at the same time? No. One took 5 years. One took 1 week. One took longer. Why are people different journeys? Because we are different. And this is the beauty of Allah is ghafoor, Allah is forgiving. So the idea isn't that you will make mistakes, because we also live in a bubble dream that a Muslim is a person that's just perfect. That's angels. We're not perfect. Our goal is when we make a mistake, we self-correct. And this is why I'm saying Surah Al-Mulk is so powerful that it will give you the cross-examination. I want to read you just the 12 questions back to back, inshallah, because there's so much beauty in them. I'm just on ayah number 4, so I might need another year. To finish the tafsir of the surah, inshallah. Let me just pull up the questions. One sec. Which of you is the best? Indeed, is ayah number 2. Can you see any cracks in the sky? So when you're having doubt, you look at the sky. Isn't it built perfectly? Yes. So why would you question if your life exams are coming at you as something that's not fair? Why are you questioning? Why did you? You know, it's like a person in the middle of an exam that says, you know what? This question is so hard. You know what? I'm just going to give up right now. I'm walking out of the exam. It's like, can't you finish the, like, what's the advice? Is finish the exam and then talk to the professor. We do that in university. But you never see someone give up in the middle of the exam, unless they didn't study at all, or they're like, they had zero study. But you give it your all. And if there's something you don't understand in your exam, you go to and ask, hey, why did this happen to me? Because sometimes you don't understand why things happen. But part of you trusting Allah is leaving it to the right moment to ask. But we don't question Allah's intention. That's the whole point of Surah Al-Mulk, is people say, you know what, based on what I'm going through, or I grew up in a family, or my parents were divorced, or it's the way the exam got set up. This doesn't mean Allah loves this person more than this person, or why was I not a born Muslim, or why am I not Arab speaking, or why I'm not. There are people that compare, and Allah says don't compare. Like, even when I go to Umrah and Hajj, wallahi, one of the most, you know, unbelievable things, you see like 100-something countries, people from around the world going doing tawaf. And one of the questions is always, like, who is the closest person to Allah in this tawaf? It could be, you know, that Uzbek sister that doesn't even speak a word. She has the closest relation. You don't know. No one knows. Just because I'm doing this doesn't mean I'm even the closest. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking, he might say, no, this brother might be, this sister might be the closest to Allah. The idea that you feel you know what other ones are going is not. I hope that explains it. Like, we shouldn't be comparative in our exams. Trust Allah that this is your exam, and it is the best journey to your growth. This is the best thing for you. If you understand that, then as the exams come, you become more mellow. It doesn't mean you'll never be stressed, you'll never be this. It just means you're able to handle what's coming because you trust this is Allah's decree. And this is why there's an ayah in Surah Al-Taghabun. وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. It's such a beautiful verse. There is not a calamity that targets you. أصاب, targets you. Except Allah, with Allah's permission. So this is not all outside of Allah's control. Because some people are like, oh my God, this happened to me. Allah doesn't love me. They go immediate backwards. It's like, what happened? First of all, Allah designed the exam. Number two, if you believe in Allah, may yu'min billah, yahdi qalbah. And if you believe in Allah, He will guide your heart to understand this exam. There's another translation to it. He cools your heart down. Because as you're going through it, your heart feels up and down. So Allah will cool you down through it. So He will guide you and cool you down through it. Yes, go ahead. Taghabun. So there's another name for the surah. I can't remember the other. It's in Juz 28. Juz number 28. Taghabun. And it's in the second page. So that I think the surah is a page and something. It's in the second one. Okay. Any other questions? Are we getting too spiced up? I made you guys walk outside and come back in. I told you. Yes, go ahead.
Remember when you said, like, if you were, like, trying to have, like, something?
Yes.
And then, like, when you reach it, like, your soul, like, it leads you?
Yeah. What, not, you should want. You should go after what you want. But there's I want to put an important criteria. Sometimes we become obsessed with what we want that when we don't get it, it feels like the end of the world. Like, I worked so hard for this. I wanted to be a doctor. And I worked so hard for it. And I didn't get it. And that's the word subhanallah. Subhanallah helps you distance yourself from questioning the perfection of Allah's plan. And this is why the Surah Al-Qalam, there are two subhanallahs in it. One, remember what Surah Al-Qalam has two stories. Story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam at the end. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And the gardens, the rich man that had a lot of money, and he used to give a third of his farm to the poor people. And his sons came and said, what? Our dad passed away. It's all ours. So Allah burnt it next day when they woke up. When they went to go, they said, we are from the when you read the ayat, it looks like you're lost and you're misguided. Like when they're saying we're lost, they're technically saying we're misguided. And they are. And one of them said, I told you, if you hadn't said subhanallah, we said subhanallah, this wouldn't have happened. Why? They questioned the plan of Allah. This third is our money. Mine. Okay, is it yours? It's not Allah's now. Surah Al-Mulk. When you feel entitled, Surah Al-Mulk helps you release. Let me read through the question and I'll come back to this beautiful question that it eats your life. Did a warner not come to you? Did a warner not come to you? The angels, when the people are entering into hellfire, they're entering afwaj, in groups, but not just normal groups, traveling groups. Like when you arrive in Mecca as groups, it's called afwaj because you're traveling groups in. So when people are going to hellfire, they're groups. And some ulama say they're grouped by their, whether sins or all of that. These are the people that stole. These are the people that did this. These are the tyrants. So they're afwaj. So every time they're passing, the angels are asking, did no one warn you? Like, it's a, you know, when the bad ending is so bad that you're like, why did you do this to yourself? Alam ya'tikum nadhir? What did the people say? قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. Yes, a warner. فَكَذَّبْنَا. We lied. And we said, Allah did not bring down anything. They admit all the crimes. And they confess. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If we had listened and reasoned, نَعْقِل, we would have never been here. It's so strange. Remember how I made you go outside to see if there's a crack? But when people are entering hellfire, they're not ever questioning what they saw. They question that they didn't listen in dunya. They didn't listen to advice. And they didn't reason. Or it's awnaqi. Like we were not doing the two most important things. And you should ask yourself, when I get good advice, do I ignore it? That's question number three. Imagine you're reading this. I want you now to imagine you're reading Surah Al-Mulk the way you're hearing it now. I'm going to go through the question again. I want you to reimagine them. Which of you is best indeed? Can you see any cracks in the sky? Did a warner not come to you? This is just, we have 12 questions. And it's only a 2.5 page surah. Like, but when you read it like this, you'll notice that it's not, it's like an accounting system that you should be doing yourself, and it's straight into your soul. It's hitting, it's not, the questions are not gentle. How are you doing today? How's it going? No, it's straight in, guys, be honest. And Allah will say, another question, do you feel safe from the earth swallowing you? So when you're walking on earth, do you not even say alhamdulillah about earth? Like that, the way Allah built it for you, did you think these roads, the flatness, the this, and all that, that Allah didn't build this by purpose? And then Allah will come at you from the sky. Do you feel safe from the stones from the sky? Like, do you wake up, you know, we'll never get a tornado. Life is very safe. Like, where do you get your safety from? Is it from your prime minister? Is it from your passport? What defines your safety? Or is it from Allah? Because some people have their safety coming from their boss. Some people, some ulama even have it from presidents. Not Allah. So the one of the biggest questions is, where is your sense of safety coming from? In this earth that you're walking or the sky? And then Allah will say something so beautiful. Do you not see the birds held flapping above you? By Rahman. By the way, this is one of the highest surahs that mention Rahman. Surah Maryam mentions it more. And there's another that has it 5 times. This surah has Rahman mentioned 4 times. It's actually a feature, a beautiful feature of this story. But I'm not going to make you go outside to look for birds, okay? But what is the question trying to tell me? What is the idea of birds flapping and you're looking at them? What a very weak beak that Allah gave an amazing capability, something that you can't do, but Allah gave it that. And when you look at yourself, well, how am I held down? How are we actually standing on the ground, not floating? Gravity. Has anyone ever thanked Allah for gravity? Alhamdulillah, wallah. It's a ni'mah. No one even thinks, why? Because you're entitled. I deserve this planet. It's amazing. Look at the gravity. Look at this. And Allah's telling you, look at the sky. But look at the birds. Go closer. But look at yourself standing on the ground. Next question. Who are you? Who is your army besides the Rahman? Who do you seek for protection? When you get stuck, is it your boss? Is it the... Who are you sucking up to, basically? You know, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةِ الشَّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلِيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمَنَ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. These two are coming right now. Who gives you that sense of safety? And the next question is, who will provide if Allah withholds the money off you? Do you think you're making your salary right now because you are amazing at what you do? No, it's a decision by Allah. That was decreed. So if you choose to disobey or obey, you're going to get your salary, yes. It's destined. But if you choose the halal, Allah will open a path for you. If you choose the haram, Allah will open a path to you. It's your choice. So where do you get your sense false of safety? And do you think, and imagine these 12 questions you're going through Allah, with Allah through every night. Who is providing to you? Is it your boss? Or is it Allah? Does Allah, are you afraid of your boss to the point where you would wrong Allah to pass? Surah Al-Mulk. Wallahi, I'm not even going that deep. I'm just, we're almost out of time. And it's such a powerful surah. And then the surah will end with a lot of qul 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 araaytum qul this qul ma. It's all quls at the end. And Allah will say, is the one face down better guided or upright? Remember the phone example we're talking about? It's what state are you in? Are you, because when you're face down, you're not listening. You're looking at something you really want. So even some of the ulama said that it's pitfalls you're going through. That's why you're facing down. Or are you upright, straight? You see the sky. You see the beauty of this universe. We, by the way, as all of us, يعني, as a generation, we're probably one of the least appreciative people of Allah's magnificence in how He created the earth, even though we have the most science to prove the beauty of this galaxy. Like when you see the NASA photos, I'm at awe. Why would Allah put colors out like 40 million years away from us? Like, who's gonna see it? How is this beauty created? Why is the moon like this? Why is the sun like this? Why is the sky blue here but dark outside? We don't reflect. And when you don't reflect, you don't appreciate Allah. And when you don't appreciate Allah, you don't understand His mulk. So it's natural that you don't feel trusting when a small exam comes to you, you get disrupted. Because you don't, you know, Allah's telling you, here's my boundaries. And you're saying, but this problem at work that I have, you can't solve it for me. I feel that you cannot do help me. Allah said, I created. Do you see a crack in the sky? Do you see the birds? Do you see the harder things that were solved? So how big is your problem again? Now you're seeing where the questions are going. It brings back trust in Allah. The 12 questions go, you take you back into trusting Allah. And then He will say, and then the disbelievers will ask a question. متى هذا الوعد? When is this day? قل إنما العلم عند الله. Say Allah knows best about the day. Don't ask questions that don't matter. So while you're going through it, sometimes we ask questions that are like, Ya Allah, who am I going to get married to? Who am I going to get married to? I just want to know who it is. I just want to know who it is. If you're young, that's a question you ask a lot. Or this, and then after you get married, people are like, all right, when will I get a break? When will I get a break? When will I get a... And people are going to go through life asking questions that don't matter. They go through life. And if you took all the questions that don't matter in your life and you see them yawm al-qiyamah, I'm reminded by this verse, مَتَ وَعْدُ اللَّهِ? When is this day of judgment that they're talking about? What is the point of that question? If Allah told you it is 12 March 2035, now I believe, alhamdulillah, you wouldn't have believed. You wouldn't have believed. And this is why Surah Al-Kahf clarifies these unnecessary questions. That was question number 10. Question number 11. If we die, who will save you? So you look at all the people that died before you. Who saved them at the end of the day? Only Allah can save them. So it's a rhetorical question. And then the last question is so interesting. If your water was to go into... In أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. If your water was to go into... If Allah decided for all water on the planet to sink, and they're very hard to, for you to get out, who will give you water? Yani, because people are not creative enough when they're saying, you know, why doesn't Allah stop the war in Gaza? You know, they're so evil. You know, there's something wrong. Yeah, Allah says, if He wanted to punish the world, the easiest punishment He could do is what? He'll let the water sink in the earth and you can't drink. Yani, you're not creative enough. So now when you see one event, now the beginning of justice happened. So when you see it, it's the beginning of justice. So Allah says you don't get to decide when justice is served or not. قُلْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. How will you find water? If Allah decides just one of His sunan, I'll let the water sink deep. There will be no more lakes or rivers. You go look, it's everyone to drink water, they're going to have to dig. Now do you understand Allah's dominion, the idea of His mulk? So when Allah tells you, I am that powerful, why do you question Him, His power? Because a lot of our questions come from not understanding Allah's power. Because if you know He's the all-powerful, then your question will be facilitated easier. Allah, I know You can save me from this problem. Whatever that needs to get done will get done. I will obey You, Allah. I will worship You, Ya Allah. This attitude is what Allah is expecting from you. Let's take a quick pause. Any questions so far? I know I took you through a wild 12 question list. Any of these questions? Yes.
It's not a question similar like a tadabbur from the sister side. So they are saying maybe against a tadabbur. It's not a
tadabbur from the sister side, yes.
Yeah, so it's my daughter.
Beautiful. I love these tadabburs.
So she's thinking maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the death before. It could be because in Islam the day starts with the night, and the night we sleep,
Yes.
And sleep is a sister of the day.
Allah. It's a beautiful tadabbur.
And the next day we wake up.
Yes.
And that's the life.
Yes. There is actually so this is a beautiful tadabbur by the sister upstairs. Did everyone heard it, right? There's another one by the ulama that say that death.
You can repeat it for the sister.
So did she tell them or not? Should I tell them again?
She will get it.
Okay. Okay. So just repeating it to the sisters upstairs that the death and life and the beginning of our day is the sleeping. At the beginning of our day is the sleeping. Really, after Maghrib, our day begins in Islam. So when we say day one in Ramadan, we always start at Maghrib. And our day ends next Maghrib, which is contrary to people today. It starts either at 12 a.m. or when I wake up. The modern culture has it at 12 or when you wake up. But Allah says, la, la, la. It starts much earlier than this. And the calendar starts when that Maghrib begins. So it's a beautiful tadabbur. Another tadabbur about death is that this dunya is death, but the akhirah is the ultimate life. And that is that al-hayah is really the afterlife. So you should seek it the other way around. Instead of you thinking life or death, that life is all, la la la. This life is not the real life, the ultimate life, because Allah says that dar al-hayah, it's the ultimate life, is the Jannah. May Allah make us from those who have death and then Jannah as their life, inshallah. Any other questions so far? Yes.
Another question, but just a reflection on Qul in Asbaha Ma'akum Ghawra.
Yeah. A reflection about Qul in Asbaha Ma'akum Ghawra.
Yeah, there is in areas where they're not served by the city, for example, even here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
In geology, there's karst feature.
Yeah.
If you buy land that is having that feature, you're not going to get approved for any building on it because there's no source of water.
Oh, okay.
And there is no solution to that.
Okay, so if a land cannot get water, it cannot get sold.
You cannot get the water well in areas where you have cars.
Oh, so even Canada doesn't sell water. If Ma'akum Ghawra in Canada, we don't even sell the land in Canada.
Just
Subhanallah.
Down the road on Battlefield,
yeah?
On that area, there is cars feature there.
So even if it rains and you can capture it, Subhanallah.
Can't capture it.
Yes. Ease in life. Yes. Yes. A beautiful question. Where do we draw the line between wanting ease in life and the hardship is kind of difficult, right? So there's a verse that says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. The function of difficulty is it will give you ease later and within it. Later and in it. So when you go into hardship, yusra, there are two yusras for every usra. Innama al-usri yusra. Innama al-usri yusra. So the ayah repeats it twice. Every one usr has two yusras, two ease. Every one difficulty gives you two ease. Some of the ulama said one that you see and one that you can't. Some of the other ulama say one right in the problem, one at the end of it. Also, there's an ayah, وَلَا الْأَخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. At the endings are better than the beginnings is one of the tadabburs on this ayah. That whatever difficult problem you're going in, we said, it is by design. Therefore, if it's by design and it's hard at the moment, then Allah has designed it so that something easier is coming for you. Something better is coming for you. And many people in the room, how many people in the room went through a difficult time, but it made them stronger and better? You know, so that is the combination of hardship with ease. You cannot live a life full of ease. In Islam, actually, that's not part of our doctrine. And or else you wouldn't have sabr. So where is the line between ease and hardship? If there are two matters, the Prophet ﷺ would take the easier path. But the idea that we don't live a life of any pain or all of that is not considered Islamic doctrine. Like, pain exists for you not to avoid it, but to grow. The reason you go, why do you go through pain? In postmodernism world today, you should pay to get out of pain. If you can live a life when you can't say, ouch, Allah, what a life. That's today. But in Islam, the idea that hardship comes, and if it was the idea that life would have been easy, it would have been the prophets. But their lives were difficult. But the difficulty has ease in it for two things. In dunya, you get stronger. And in Jannah, it gives you a path there. So any hardship you see, will make your life easier. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ. We know that function. So should I seek a life of ease? Zero pain? No. I'm not saying look for pain or look for... You should not ask, oh Allah, send me as much hardship as possible. You should not do that. But you should not be the person that every problem happens, you run away from it. That's why Allah says, فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. At the end of Surah Qalam, which is the next surah after Mulk, be patient with Allah's decree. Why? Because you're going to see... And do not be like that friend, the companion of the whale. Yunus, don't do that. Don't walk away from the exam when it gets hard. When Allah designs your exam, how do I know when to get out or in? Pray istikhara. If I'm in a difficult exam, and your heart is clean, which means you're sincere with Allah, how do I know? Pray istikhara. If Allah asks you to stay, you stay. How do I know the sign of istikhara is another khutbah, inshaAllah? But because people have, do I get a dream? Should I pray 22 times or 23? Like, there's a lot of questions about it. But in general, just understand that the exams coming in your life, difficult or easy, it's by design. Should you seek more difficult ones? No. Should you make dua for more difficult to come? No. But as you go through them, should you persevere through them? Yes. Even if it's difficult, yes. And what will be the outcome? Ease. Did that help explain, inshallah? Any other questions? Yes.
I had a question with respect to the last two surahs of Baqarah, but I think there is a dua at the end.
Yeah.
We're talking about tests, so like lighten our tests and not test us.
Do not burden us.
Do not burden us.
So do not burden us with what we cannot handle. But some people go through exams that they yeah.
They can. So can we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lighten our tests or
yeah.
reduce our tests?
The best dua is that you pray Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. That's also the one we make a lot in tawaf when you pass, when you finish your tawaf. Oh Allah, give us in this life the goodness and at the end the goodness. The idea that the world is meant to be something you do not enjoy at all and you hate, no, but we do know it's a, in generally the dunya is the jail of a believer. This dunya, because you're not allowed to do certain things. So it is a jail. But what is lightening the burden is that this, if it overwhelms you, that Allah helps you through it. But not for life to be zero exams. Because this is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba would go days and there's no fire lit in the house for food. Now if we don't have in the fridge the right level of grapes and strawberries, there's a problem. So, and I mean it as a joke, but like, I'm just saying like, where did the strawberries go? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go days and it's just dates he had. So I mean, you're supposed to be tough in Islam. The idea that you are a fragile glass human that breaks at every exam is not realistic. And this is why Allah, there's an ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We will test them with a bit of fear. So you could get scared. Hunger. You could get hungry. So can the test? Allah says, I will test you. The beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ is it adhan time right now?
2 minutes.
Okay. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا. Do people think they were left, they're going to be left, just say, oh, I believe in Allah. وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Do people think they're going to be left in this world to just say it? Allah says, no, you're going to get tested. Why? To extract from you. Fitna comes from the concept of heating gold. To purify it. So when you go through a hardship, Allah's purifying your gem inside. So when you're going through a difficult time, what is your compass? Is it working or not? Like I'm going through a hard time. Are you coming closer to Allah? Or are you going away from Allah? That's your exam. Sheikh Sha'rawi said it best for this. How do I know if the hardship is evil or not? Like how do I know it's a punishment from Allah or not? Simple question. When it hits you, did you attempt a comeback to Allah or did you run away from Allah? Because the ultimate punishment is if Allah does not want to see you. Because some people say, oh Allah, punish me, I got fired. Allah punish me, I got divorced. That's not a sign, brothers and sisters. There are sahaba that got divorced. There are sahaba that that have family issues. So what is the criteria that I can score and I know when I hit the calamity, Did I come closer to Allah? Did I ask for forgiveness? Did I say Subhanallah? Did I say Alhamdulillah? Did I come closer or did I go far away? And that's what purifies you and tazkiyah. To show you truly mean La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasul and you truly believe Allah is the owner. Every time you go through an exam, and we know people like that, they'll go through the biggest exam and they'll be like, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Someone else, a small ant bites them, La ilaha illallah, with this ant. One time I had a brother call me from Mecca, and he said, a cat looked at me at a certain way. Does the cat have a genie in it? And I'm like, well, I thought it was a joke. I'm like, oh, no, brother, like, let it go. He was serious. And why? Because any sign of anything wrong is a sign Allah hates me, or Allah has a problem, or Allah did not accept my tawbah for Allah. Brothers, it's not, Allah is merciful, compassionate. Every time you ask for forgiveness, you should have that trust in Allah. As long as you're sincere, you're back. But if you gamify it, that's a problem. Okay? Any last, then time? Let's go. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Sorry if I went too long, brothers. I got too excited.